Cautious Pashala doubts there's a more exciting Parsha Tefillah than Parsha Pashala. In scope of just picturing exactly what went on, Klal Yisrael are emancipated after 210 years, leaving Egypt. They're being chased by Paro. Paro has second thoughts about taking them back. This newly released nation, standing between, literally between, the devil and deep blue sea. And that's where the expression comes from, the devil and deep blue sea. And here they are, standing there with the pounding of Paro's huge war machine on one side. You have the sea in front. I doubt they had time to learn. Too many of them had time to learn to swim in the shrine. Well, how exactly did they cross the Red Sea? And it's all happening. It's a crescendo of noise, of emotion. And Klal Yisrael, amazingly, the last thing they expected was that the sea was going to split. They thought maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to make some kind of disease and assume they're going to die, or maybe he's going to allow them to fight back, or maybe he's going to somehow or another let Paro have second thoughts. But they did not think for one moment that the sea is going to split and they're going to walk through the sea. No, nobody thought that. And when they did see that, there was a national level of prophecy that the nation actually stood up and they said the Shira. Said the Shira. And the Shira describes, the praise of Hashem describes exactly what they saw. And the Pasuk says, in one part of the Shira it says, Zeh Keli Van Veyu. This is our God, Van Veyu, and we will glorify him. Now, Zeh is always a lotion of pointing. When you say the Zeh Satsayra, people point at the Zeh Satsayra, Zeh. Zeh Keli Van Veyu means we're actually pointing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh Keli Van Veyu. This is God Van Veyu. Now the Gemara says, Zeh Keli Van Veyu. The Gemara, the Medrash brings down that Ra Shifcha Alayom Marshli Ra Icheskel Ben Buvi. A regular maidservant on the sea, which was the lowest level of the Jewish society, saw levels of prophecy that the greatest Nevi'im didn't have the fortunate position to see. They saw Maisa Merkava. They saw Kodesh Baruch Hu's wagon as well, a chariot. Amazing concepts we cannot even possibly fathom. They saw these greatest levels, and they pointed, Zeh Keli Van Veyu. They pointed, they saw it. And here they are, reaching these levels of prophecy and standing there and seeing all the dead Mitzrayim. Unbelievable. And then Miriam takes her little tof, and she also makes a little Shira Shem Kegel, makes a little Shira as well. And then Vayasa Moshe Yisrael Perik Tesvav Pasuk Chof Beis. Eventually, after all this has happened, everything's died down. Vayasa Moshe Yisrael. Moshe pushes them away from Hesion Bar Kocha. Pushes them away from the sea. Now, why did he have to push them away? Bar Kocha means against their will. He pushed them away from the sea. Why did he push them away from the sea? So, according to the main explanation of this, is they pushed them away for the mere fact that there was such wealth lying there. When the people went to fight in war, they bring all the wealth with them. They want to leave nothing behind, because you're basically leaving open your wealth and your treasures to a nation that's being unprotected. So they took all the wealth with them. And when they were destroyed, they had, you can have the wealth of Mitzrayim, which is basically accumulated with the wealth of the whole world, was with them. And the Jews are really taking as much as they can. But yes, some Moshe said, enough. We have to move on. Enough. Very difficult to understand why they needed so much wealth, because they left Mitzrayim so much wealth. We'll get to that later. But so Vayasa Moshe moved them on, and they went to the Midbar. They moved on to the Midbar. They went for 3 days in the Midbar and didn't find water, and it came tomorrow, and they're very thirsty at this stage, and they couldn't drink the water because the water was bitter, and therefore they called it Morrow. So the nation complained. The nation complained to Moshe, what are you going to drink? Vayitzak al Hashem, and he shouted to Hashem, Vayireyu Hashem ate. Hashem showed them a certain tree. Vayashech el ha-mayim, threw it into the water. Vayimtukul ha-mayim, the water became sweet. Shom, there, Som loy chok u-mishpot, there, they made a chok u-mishpot. He placed for them certain laws. Vashom v'son, that's where they moved on. Very bizarre. What happened here, Jack? Let's understand what's going on. First of all, they're coming from behind, from a backdrop of a world's most unbelievable miracle. The Gemara says, and the Medrash brings down, that not only did the sea split, but every you know, there's literally a storm in everyone's teacup. Every place, everywhere there were, where there was water in the whole world, it split. They shouldn't just think of the tidal wave happened there. And here our Klal Yisrael saw this unbelievable miracles. They saw Kadosh Baruch Hu, they saw God, and now they're thirsty. Now, what do you think is going to happen now? What do you think is going to happen now? Hashem's going to leave them to die? Hashem said, you know what? Yeah, I took you to the Midbar. I took you to against every single possible logistical feat to take out of Mitzrayim. You know what? There's no water. Sorry. I forgot about that. I left the water at home. Sorry. Obviously, Hashem's going to give them water. What are you complaining about? You just seen Hashem. You just saw what a Kodesh Baruch can produce. He don't need to give you water. What are you complaining about? So they start complaining. Strange. Okay, so how does Hashem, yes, help them? They have bitter water. Water's bitter. Fine. So Hashem says, take a piece of wood and put that wood into the water and it'll turn sweet. Well, it's kind of magic here. Wow, put this water in, it's going to turn sweet. Give them sweet water. Give them sweet water. Enough water, give them sweet water. Now, they haven't got sweet water. So he puts in this bitter tree and it makes water sweet. What's the idea there? How's that going to help? What's the lesson there? And then it says, over there, Hashem taught them some halachas as well. Yeah. Now you've got your drinks. Everyone, nice drink. Okay. Now settle down. I'll tell you a nice little few halachas here. I'm going to tell you the halachas of Kibbutz Avim. I'm going to tell you the halachas of Shabbos. And I'm going to tell you the halachas of Dinim, of monetary laws. Three laws I'm going to tell you. All sitting comfortably. Fine, I'll tell you these laws. Shom over there, I'll tell you these laws. Visham is on it, and we'll move on. Why duck with these laws? What's the whole idea? What's going on here? So, I worked in a mahalach this year, which I think is an unbelievable insight to understanding the entire focus of what a Jew is supposed to, how he's supposed to see the world, see himself, and how he's supposed to reach different levels. There's no doubt that Klal Yisrael saw prophecy at the Dead Sea, no doubt about that, at the Red Sea, no doubt about that at all. There's no doubt about it either that they fell very, very quickly. From the time they saw the prophecy to the time they came to this complaining about the water, they fell in 3 days to stoop to levels that is horrendous levels, terrible levels. Why did they stoop so quickly? How did they fall? How did they fall from being the greatest prophets to people just grumbling about water? How would they manage to do that? We wouldn't do that. The answer is very simple, that if you base your spirituality on very weak foundations, on artificial foundations, it doesn't last. They weren't working towards those levels of spirituality. They never worked towards seeing prophecy. They just left Mitzrayim. They were idol worshippers. They never worked towards it. They were given it as an artificial base. They were just thrown it from Hashem. Here, I'll show you prophecy. And that prophecy, they try to cling on to, but it's nothing. And if spirituality is based on nothing but an artificial boost on the outside, as soon as the adrenaline disappears, so does the prophecy too, and it falls straight back to the levels of complaining about water. That's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a false feeling of spirituality that lasted them for very short periods of time, and as soon as that went, they felt they became again regular Klal Yisrael over the Avodah Zarah. That's the idea. So they all say that, all the Balaam was to say that. But the question is, if so, why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem give them these false feelings of spirituality only to take it away as soon as the Kriyas Yamsuf is finished, as soon as the crossing of the sea is finished, that's all, they lose it. And then, 3 days later, they should be so anticlimaxed that they should be so disappointed with themselves that they should actually start complaining about and start being upset about not having water, because Baruch not going to provide them with water. Why did the Kodesh Baruch give to them the first place? Why give them this artificial spirituality? What for? Listen to this. Rav Shlomo Kalina, says in Shemesh Marpa, he says that this. The Pasuk says, this is an unbelievable thought. Shlomo Kalina. He's one of the big rebbes. He says this in Parshas Veschanon. In Shir HaShirim, yeah, Shlomo HaMelech says that this. He says, "Al toima shiyomim harishayim hayotayim." Don't say the good old days. Al toima yom harishayim hayotayim. Ah, remember those good old days. Kiloi mi chokma sha'al tazoyf, because you're not saying this from wisdom. A person who always talks about reminiscing about the good old days is not saying it's through wisdom. Why? Because in 10 years time, that'll be the good old days. So appreciate now. That's how you usually learn this understanding. Yeah, don't say these good old days, because they weren't good old days. They were terrible old days. They were horrible. Many, many years ago, today's life, oh, unbelievable. Yeah, the good old days. Remember the good... People come. My father used to work in the East End of London. And you get people coming with their smart cars and hired cars from America, wherever it was, coming to visit, you know, the good old days in the East End. It was horrendous. There were gang wars, and there was poverty, and there was filth, and there were good old days, and it was good old days. And he said, come on, that's how we understand it normally. But Rav Shlomo Kalina says something else. He says, beautiful. He said, how many times have a person said to you, do you know, remember the good old days when we were in yeshiva? Ah, the person left yeshiva already. Those good days when we were in yeshiva. When yeshiva, you know, davening was a davening. Learning was a learning. An elul was an elul. You know, remember the elul in yeshiva? Remember Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in yeshiva? Ah, that was the yeshiva. Today, ah, no, you can't daven. I haven't got koyach to daven that way. You haven't got koyach to learn that way. So he says like this, Al Tema, don't say, Shiyom Ho Yishonim Ho Yatoivim, that those days were the real days, those are the real good days, because it's not true. You know why? Ki Loi Michochma. That wasn't because you were wiser then. That wasn't because you were clever then. Sha'alta Zois. That was borrowed time. That was borrowed energy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you borrowed koiches, borrowed strength then. Just that you should be able to reach levels of prayer, reach levels of learning, that you should just see where you can reach in the rest of your life. But that wasn't because you worked so hard then. You weren't doing better then than you are today. Hashem gave you then sometimes an inspiration to see how well you can do, but that is an artificial sort of an infusion. He just allowed you to see how well you can do then, in order that you should know in the rest of your life, I can reach an Ella like I reached then in yeshiva. But then in yeshiva, that wasn't real Elul, that's artificial. That's an artificial Elul. That's an artificial learning. That's artificial davening. Because that was all given to you, that was sha'alta. That was borrowed to you, it was lent to you. Just that you should appreciate how far you can get. Do you understand? Beautiful. Al Tema Shiyama Hosheinim Hoyatavim, those are the good old days. Kiloy Mechochma, that wasn't your Chochma. That was sha'alta Zoish, that was lent to you. And that's for later on, when you strive and you work hard to build and become great from your own strength, those are the real days. Those are the real days that belong to you. So the Mephoshim explained like this, that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Klal Yisrael, that he opened up the heavens and he showed them the greatest prophecy that ever could possibly see, it was in order to show them where you should be striving for. What are you supposed to be striving for? Where can I reach? What is the greatest pleasure a person can possibly have? And that is connection with Almighty, connection with Hashem. That is connection with Nevuah. That is connection, connecting yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu open up the heavens? Why did he do that? To show them, this is how wonderful life can be, were you to work hard and reach those levels. I'm going to show you, I'm going to inspire you. You left Mitzrayim, who are you? A bunch of slaves. People who have been working, just running the day, just trying to survive. I want to show you, I'm going to open up the heavens, and I want to show you how high you can reach, how high and what great, tremendous pleasure you can have by connecting with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm going to reach, and he teaches the artificial level to reach there. Now listen to this. Vayasa Moshe, and Moshe had to pull them away. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, Vayasa Moshe, he did not have to pull them away from the money. They weren't interested in money, they had enough money. Vayasa Moshe, Moshe had to pull them away from the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Bizas Hayom, that they were standing by the sea and living in the artificial state of spirituality, they wanted to stay there. They were quite happy to stay in an artificial state. They were quite happy to live in being connected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah Sharon says, Lohonos Meziv HaShchina, connecting with the Ziv HaShchina, connecting with the Bein Shleinim, is the greatest possible level a person can reach. We're quite happy to stay here. I don't want to work. I'm quite happy to be here. Moshe Vayasa Moshe, Moshe to say, no. Very nice. You've been living in this artificial state, but that isn't life. Very nice to be learning in yeshiva, and you've been living in yeshiva, but that's not the real life. The real life is when you go to the real world, and you take and you grow yourselves, and you become an honest person, and you take all the lessons and all the limudim when you did yeshiva and really grow. That is when you've really taken the lessons and become something for yourself. Vayasa Moshe, Moshe, pull them away. from the artificial state. And that can make sense. The Pasuk says, Ze keli vanaveyu, says the Targum, Ze keli vanaveyu, Ze evnele makdusho, and I'll build a base of Mikdosh. What's building a base of Mikdosh got to do with Ze keli vanaveyu? The Kama sitting, that's left Mitzrayim, yeah, understand, and we're going to build a base of Mikdosh. What's the idea? Very simple. Klal Yisrael wanted the easy way out. They said, you know what? We're not going to work hard on who we are. We're not going to work hard on spirituality. We'll make the easy way out. We'll build a base of Mikdosh. We'll build a base of Mikdosh. By building a base of Mikdosh, that is how we connect with the Shechinah. That's how we connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we connect with spirituality. We don't start working hard building our spirituality from scratch, building up our personalities, connecting ourselves with reasons, reasons bring to Nakias, Nakias bring. We don't need all that. We'll build a base of Mikdosh. There, Caleb unveil. This that you've shown us is the Ziva Shechinah. This unbelievable insight of what it's like to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't want to move away from this. Ain't no one want to move away from this. We'll build a base of Mikdosh. The easy way out. And that's Bayasa Moshe. Moshe says, my friends, this is not life. Life is not about connecting yourself with the Kodesh Baruch Hu on an artificial level. It's about connecting yourself with the Kodesh Baruch Hu with your own hard work.
Are you saying that they were going to build a base of Mikdosh right there?
They said they want to build a base of Mikdosh. They want to build. We'll build a base of Mikdosh. You want to connect? No, doesn't help. You got to go and you got to leave, and you got to build connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu step by step by step with your own strength. That is Vayasa Moshe. Don't live in an artificial state. Now. So what's so how do you do that? Now listen to this carefully. This is unbelievable.
I don't need the track.
In every prayer we have, we know how to pray. And the praise we always make is Loshen Rabim. It's always in plural. Always in plural. In the Shira, it's Loshen singular. Ze keili va'anveyu. This is my God. Ze keili va'anveyu. Why is there keili? Why Loshen yochid? Why in singular? It should be in plural. Ever struck you this question? Ze keili va'anveyu? Ze keili. Each one's talking about it. All the limas call vayhi li lishua. Ze keili. They're talking about everyone together. Klal Yisrael always talk about in a plural form. What's their keli vanveyu? The answer is, and this is absolutely true, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the heavens and he showed them how high we can reach on a spiritual level, he didn't show them one spiritual level. Each and every person was shown their individual level of how high you can reach. Moshe Rabbeinu was shown his nevuah. Each and every person could reach. Obviously there are so unbelievable levels of where one can ultimately reach. But each and every person was shown their keli. This is my God. Wow. I can become a person who knows Shas perfectly. I know somebody who can know the Chol Kula. I can be a person who isn't a philanthropist that doesn't care about sleeping at all. Each person can reach their particular levels of their keli va'anveyu because each person saw God on their level. And to how he can fulfill his own potential. Zeh keli vanveyu. So far, where have we reached? Where have we gone from here? We've gone, number one, the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show on artificial level that this, by the way, is how far you can reach. I'm showing you where you can reach. I'm showing you where you should be aspiring to. You should be aspiring to Nevuah. You should be aspiring to connecting with me, to building with me. Don't want to stay where you are on an artificial level. Vayasa Moshe, don't try and stay here. Don't stick around on an artificial level. It's not going to help you. That is not Judaism. Judaism is not living on an artificial level. It's living in the world like a regular human being and living a Kosh Baruch in that world. Vayasa Moshe with your own strengths. That's the understanding of Vayasa Moshe. And the understanding of Zer Keli Vanvei, each person has their own tachlis. Now, how do you reach that stage? So you got to work. Now let's understand this stage. This is brilliant. This is absolutely fantastic. The end of the Haftarah, in this week's Haftarah, it talks about Shiras Devorah. Shiras Devorah, yeah? And it says the Devorah was a woman prophetess, and she was a woman prophetess, and the Pasuk says, Eshes Lapidos. She is a wife of Lapidus. Very nice. What does that mean? Eshes Lapidos. Says a Medrash. Eshes Lapidos. Says a Medrash. says the Medrash, so Hoyo. She used to make the shohoya mesakein, shohoya mesakein, silois, the silois nois, the shila, mishkan shila. She used to prepare the wicks for mishkan shila. That was her job. She prepared beautiful wicks for mishkan shila. Says the Medrash, because she lit up the world, therefore she lit up the world for other people as well. Let's understand this. What did she do already? What did this woman do? She made beautiful wicks. Big deal. She made lovely wicks for the menorah. So what? The idea is, she did her best. What the level that she was supposed to be. The level that she was supposed to be. Her level was, make wicks. But do wicks otherwise. Make them as nice as possible. And she put in every effort and every thought to make those wicks as nice as possible. What happened to her? She reached the Shekhinah. She had Nevuah. Zekeli Vanvei, with her level of Zekeli Vanvei, with her level of doing what she has to be doing, she reached Shekhinah. She reached Nevuah. She got Nevuah. That is the power of on an individual level. As a person puts in the effort he needs to perfect himself in his particular job, in his particular area in life, he can become a Navi. You can actually receive prophecy if you actually just put in that work to build on your own levels the best you can, even if it means just making wicks. It talks about Miriam and Abudim. Miriam says, "Batanahem Miriam." Miriam answered back to women and said, "Tigach Miriam and Abudim chois aron toif." And it says, "Batanahem Miriam shulash and kigoy go susvorich rama v'yom." What's the deal there? Why definitely this possible? We discussed this last year. Susvorich rama v'yom is understanding that the women understood what tachlis do we have. Everyone saw their own tachlis. They're keli vanveyu. What do we have? You've got to help our husbands. That's what we've got to have. You've got to be second in command. It says Miriam, sus v'reichvoy rama vayom. Whoa, why second? Why did the reichiv die in the yam? Because he's a rasha. Why did sus die? What did sus do wrong? The answer is, because the sus helped the reichiv. The person who helps to inspire and helps the other person do his job also gets killed. The sus got killed together with the reichiv into the yam. And therefore you women, your tachlis is not necessarily to become, necessarily to be standing up there and leading the prayers. But your inspiration, your dedication of building up the home, inspiring your husband, encouraging the home, building the home from the behind, building the home, making it your husband feel the way he should do. And the women, so he doesn't start saying, "Here I am, here I am, here I am." That is, children need to do that, not women. Women are much more mature than that. That sus v'reich v'mamam v'yom, a sus got just as much of a punishment, a horse got just as much of a punishment into the sea as a rider. Yeah, because they saw their tachlis, because each one's their cave and they saw the tachlis, and they weren't very inspired. They weren't very excited by it. So Miriam says, no, look, sus v'reich v'mamam v'yom. Sus gets the same punishment as a reichiv. Yeah? And therefore, your idea, if you grow to the greatest levels you can grow, you can reach Nevuah as well. Like Eshes HaPidos, she became a Nevuah. She, by merely working hard and building the Psilois.
But it wasn't enough for them to carry on with the praises with everyone else. They had to make their own offer.
Afterwards, they did that as well. And then they had this little question they had to be answered. Now, how on earth do we reach to take ourselves on an artificial level of growth and become the greatest we can possibly be? How do we do this? How do we do this? Lesson number one, straight after the whole story of the Shira, what happened? They go along for 3 days and they don't find water. And they complain, what should we drink? What's the day behind that? The day behind this is very simple. Unfortunately, if people don't enjoy learning, or people don't enjoy a mitzvah, they drop it and start on something else. Or they look for different levels of Yiddishkeit, different elements from the outside of Yiddishkeit to inspire themselves.
Sorry, can you back up to the first thing you said on the first thing just before this? What's this?
How do we actually get out of this artificial state? Yeah, so this is the next parasha. This is what...
I missed the bit that was the next. Sorry.
how do we get out of this artificial state and actually build real levels for ourselves? How do we do this? These are the next few psukim over here. Then the pasuk says very clearly that it took, the water was bitter. Why is the water bitter? And what is water? A mayim el Torah. A mayim el Torah. Water is bitter sometimes. We don't enjoy learning. So what do we do? So let's forget about learning. Let's do something else. Let's do chesed. No. If water is bitter, it says the Torah, you know what you do? You put in more bitter. You learn more. You're putting in bitter herb. What's bitter? Nothing more bitter than hard work. The more you push in and put an effort into what you're doing, the tastier it'll become. You take something bitter, you take water that's bitter. Torah is bitter sometimes. I can't bother learning. And you put effort into it. And you work hard. You take a bitter herb and you work even harder. The fumsar agra. The more work, the more schar you get.
You can't compare Torah to chesed because everyone's different. Not everyone's
Torah is Torah. Chesed is chesed. But it's nothing like Torah. And this is the mind referring to over here is Torah. I'm not saying this. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says Mother Kama. The Gemara says, what is 3 days? So the Gemara says, that what happened was the Klal went for 3 days in the Midbar and never went and never learned Torah. And suddenly the Torah, the most beautiful, sweet thing in the world, became bitter. They didn't want to learn anymore. They didn't want to learn. They weren't interested in learning. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest, most inspiring teachers were there. They're not interested in learning. So the Nevi'im stood up then and made a Gezerah that it should never be more than 3 days without learning Torah. And that's why you have Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, Mincha, Mondays and Thursdays. From that time on. That's why, that says the Gemara. In other words, you can be inspired by seeing unbelievable miracles. You can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can see Zekein Ivan Veyu. But if a person doesn't learn Torah, then 3 days later, the most beautiful piece of Gemara, the most beautiful pshat, just tastes bitter. I'm not interested, I don't want it. I don't want this Torah, it tastes bitter. Ugh. So what do? I close the Gemara and do chesed now? No, I put in a bitter herb. I make it more bitter. In other words, I put myself into it more. And by immersing myself into it, it becomes sweet. That's the first lesson. Building a level of absolute ruchnius, building a level, living in an outside of spiritual world, living like a real Jew, is understanding that it's not going to become easy. The harder you work, the more you go and work into those levels of spirituality, of building yourself within the Torah, of putting in the bitter, the hard work into Torah, that's the first level. The second understanding is, what did he teach them? He taught them 3 things. Kibbutz of Aim, honoring parents. He taught them Shabbos, and he taught them Dinim. Rabbi Isai, all these 3 things were absolutely no chiddush. Shabbos, they kept in Mitzrayim. It's clear. They kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim. Kibbutz of Aim, Esav knew about Kibbutz of Aim already. No chiddush. Dinim, Seven Mitzvot B'nei Noach, Seven Noachite Laws. What do you teach them here? Why do you teach them these things? Why dafka these things? Teach them something geschmack. Teach them lulav. Oh, never heard about lulav before. Yeah, why teach them things they already know? The answer is that if you want to move out of a level of artificial spirituality and build absolute concrete steps, you don't need chedushim and new avoda. Whatever you're doing, you can make yourself better. If you want to start davening better, connecting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't have to start saying Perek Shira. You don't have to start davening the Kosel every day. You don't have to start going to Uman. You can take the Siddur and start working with the Seder Tfiddur itself. And that itself is absolute growth. Do something you're doing already. Kill what you're doing already, but work on it even more. Do Dinim, but try and be a little bit more honest. Work out how to be even straighter. Take Kibbutz of Aim and take it to a different level. Take Shabbos Kodesh, make Shabbos a different kind of Shabbos. Therefore, the level of spirituality is not looking from the outside and trying to bring in things from the outside. Things that have nothing to do with your growth. Work with what you have and grow even more. Strengthen yourself with the levels you're already doing. Just work harder. Inspire yourself. Work deeper and deeper and harder know that you're doing. Therefore, that is a level, and that's the second. Shom Shom Lechokom Mishpot. There, at that particular stage, when Klal Yisrael were feeling so low, and they felt so abandoned, and they felt so upset with themselves, that they left these levels of spirituality behind. And now we're left with nothing. Hashem said to them, how do you get back? Shom Shom Lechokom Mishpot. There, I tell you how to get back. Number one, if you don't enjoy learning, Work hard, you'll enjoy it. And number two, don't start looking for outside things. Don't try and think that the Yiddish guy's going to come, even if I start learning to say Perik Shira. That is not going to be something that's going to inspire you. Something you're doing anyway, work harder on that. But listen to this Mechilta. Lest one believe that the levels of growth is inspired only by small steps. Listen to this Mechilta. The Mechilta says, the Medrash brings down. The Mechilta says, Omer Rav Yosef Glili, HaKlal Yisrael said, Hashem Yimloich Le'olam Voed, which means Hashem will reign forever. Ilu Hoya Oimrim Hashem Moloch Le'olam Voed, Miyad Hoya Nigalu, V'loy Hoya V'hoya V'hoya Boim Lidei V'hoya Boim Lidei Tachlisom. They would have come to their Tachlis. Because Klal Yisrael said, Hashem will reign, not Hashem reigns, yeah? Therefore, that's why we're suffering from Golos today. Everything that's happened for Golos today is because of Klal Yisrael not saying Hashem reigns, but Hashem will reign. What's wrong with that? They weren't ready for it. They weren't ready. I'm not holding the level now to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my God, that He reigns now. Starting at all, He made. It's called Matan Torah. What do you want from me? Yeah, I'm being straight with you. I'm being very honest. It's a challenge I can't overcome. And that's Hashem will reign. I know Hashem is real, and one day I'll reach that level, but right now I'm not ready for it. What's wrong with that? The answer is that sometimes, in order to be able to swim, you've got to jump in the deep end. You've got to meet your challenges head on. Klal Yisrael, if they wanted to reach real levels of spirituality, if they wanted to reach real levels of growth, then they should have jumped in. They should have said Hashem Moloch. They should have said Hashem reigns from us right now. But how will we take this on Shlita Hashem and Nigdi Tomei Abdallah Pnei Miyad Tomei? How will we do this? Doesn't matter. You don't twiddle your toes at the corner of the swimming pool in order to get in. You've got to jump in. You've got to meet your challenges head on. And if they would have met the challenges head on, there would have been no purpose at all for Golus. They would have reached the Tachlis immediately. In other words, growth is all about reaching real levels of spirituality. It's all about not looking for outside ideas, not looking, changing your whole lifestyle to become great. No, it's doing what you're doing now and doing it better and working harder at it, but working harder at it to a level that I'm going to commit myself to such an extent to supernatural levels of doing Kibbutz Av Va'Eim, to supernatural levels of Shabbos, to supernatural levels of what I'm doing anyway, but reaching levels that are entirely beyond myself, entirely beyond what I'm doing, because that is real growth. Jumping in and doing things, meeting your challenge head on, Hashem Moloch. There's a moshe, a beautiful moshe, but I must say, a blacksmith, right? A blacksmith, a little shtetl somewhere in the 1950s, this man has been working as a blacksmith, and he's working in Stoke-on-Trent, yeah, for the last 30 years as a blacksmith. Anyway, unfortunately, the motor age has taken effect, and people aren't riding horses that much. So his business is dwindling, it's going down and down. What's he going to do? Nebuch, Panos is not going very well. So his friend comes in and friend says to him, you're making a mistake, I think you should become a goldsmith. You've already got the tools here. You already have the oven, you already have the hammers, become a goldsmith. So his blacksmith looks at him and says, you're an idiot. I thought I was an idiot, you're an idiot. How many people come in here to ask for, you know, ask to get their gold sorted out? People come in here with a horse once a week to get their shoes done, right? So nobody comes in here for gold. So I've become a goldsmith and I have no panacea at all. You're an idiot. I mean, this is ridiculous. I've become a goldsmith. Nobody's ever asked me to fix their gold. People come in once a week to fix horses. So the man said back to him, you're an idiot, I'm not. If you put a big sign outside and says in the sign outside goldsmith, then you start seeing how many people come into you. But if you have a sign outside that says blacksmith, what do you expect? Say the Bala Musa. That people say, how can I finish Shas? Me finish Shas. Me become a Talmud Chochum. Me become a Tzaddik. Do me a favor, look at me. How many times, come on. Where is Sefer Yishmael? The answer is, you know why you don't have Sefer Yishmael? Because you have not labeled yourself as a goldsmith. You have not labeled yourself as a Talmud Chochum. If you put a notice outside, Talmud Chochum in training, Tzaddik in training, I'm going to become a God love door in training, then the Sefer Yishmael the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you for you jumping in to want to become a God love door. Kodesh Baruch Hu will give it a Sefer Yishmael, but you can't expect a Sefer Yishmael. You can't expect people to come in to a blacksmith with gold if you've got a sign outside that says blacksmith. This is the fundamental of Yiddishkeit. The fundamental of Yiddishkeit is number one, appreciating. Appreciating, let's get this back where we are. Number one, understanding. That what we're supposed to be aspiring to, we're supposed to be aspiring to the Honus Mezuv Hashchina. We're supposed to be aspiring to having connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, number one. Number two, that is understanding of each person, of my chavosei boi lomoi. Was the chavosei each person, their keili van veyu, it's my God van veyu. Their keili van veyu, it's my God. Each person is contactless in the world. Famous Ravisha story, Ravisha said, nobody will ask me when I come to Shemayim, why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu? They'll ask him, why wasn't Isisha? Why wasn't Isisha? Their keili van veyu, where am I holding in my keili van veyu? Where am I holding in my God? Where... And we're given this artificial insight sometimes when we're in yeshiva, or when we're in Elul, or when we're in Yom Kippur. We hear artificial thing, we're zooming, we're flying. It's artificial. It's not real. Why? To see how we can go with our own work if you work hard the rest of the time. And it's there in order to inspire us to become great the rest of the time. How do we become great? How do we reach this level of real spirituality? Number one, we have to appreciate that we've got to work harder with what we're doing. If it's Torah and it doesn't taste so good, put hard work in. Put in the bitter wood. Put in this bitter tree. That bitter tree will make it taste better. The hard work will make it taste good. Number two, don't necessarily work on completely new projects. Work on those projects that you're working on, but work even harder. You're anyway being nice to your wife, be even nicer to your wife. You work anyway making Shabbos, make Shabbos even more special. Make it even more Kodesh. Sing more Zmiris. Be more connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kibbutz of the Ein. You're anyway respecting your parents. Do that little bit more effort. No chidushim. That's how you make proper steps of growth. And the third understanding is that with these steps, there mustn't be small steps. There must be giant steps. They must inspire. One must look to become so great that it's supernaturally great. That Hashem Moloch. That even though we don't feel ready for it now, but I'm gonna jump in. I'm gonna meet the challenge head first. I'm gonna jump in the deep end. And there, Hakadosh Baruch Hu give me such yata dishmaya. Hashem give us such unbelievable power to great and to reach these levels. That will be real with where we're holding. Exactly. And then Shom the Chol Kamishit with Shom Nisol, and then we can move on. Well, from that stage on, once you have all these lessons, with Shom Nisol, now from that stage we can just move on, we can become great, we can move on. We have to focus on these things. We have to build on these things. And this is Mamish the Tachis. The Tachis is what we're supposed to be aspiring to, who we are on our own levels, how we're supposed to reach these levels. This is Mamish, the Tachlis, this is Judaism. There's nothing else. What else is there besides this? Knowing where we're supposed to be going, knowing our own individual level and purpose, that each one has their own particular path in the world, perfecting ourselves and perfecting the world with us, and how to perfect it. This is these few psukim over here. But we have to focus on it. And it's very easy to talk about it and to talk about it and to talk about it, but we have to focus on it. I just heard a story, Seif Avson Hilchot Shabbos, that I'm not sure which president was in America. There's a certain president in America who came to visit a yeshiva. True story, happened not so long ago. I'm not sure which president it was. And before he came, the president sent obviously his security forces to check out the security, the parameters of how far people can go, and it had snipers on the roof, and exactly the whole nine yards, exactly how far one can go, where he should stand, where he shouldn't stand. And then they sent in the decorative staff. The decorative staff came in. And they decided what should be there, how it should look when the president is there. And they had on the walls all beautiful pictures. Beautiful pictures. And the decorator said, no, take them all down. Take all these pictures down. Okay, took them down. Then they had very nicely designed curtains, all different designs on, with birds and with fish and with trees. Take down the curtains. Very basic curtains. What's this about? Why are you doing this? What's all this? He said, because when a president comes, all the eyes should be in the president. All the eyes should be in the president. You know, sometimes you get to at a wedding, and a guy's talking a little bit too long, so you're like, sort of. And I start looking at the chandeliers. Well, I've never noticed that before. And then you count how many lights there are, how many are broken, how many are really good, and then it gets a bit boring, and you start looking at the pictures on the walls. No, Churchill. It does look like a bulldog. Yeah, wonderful. And you move from place to place, and you're losing the whole drosha. You're not focusing on what the guy's saying. So there's no distractions. You look directly at the president. You want no pictures, you want no curtains, look directly at the presence. Rashi, by the way, says that. It's a Rashi in Hazinus is exactly that. That we focus on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we focus on our mitzvahs. It's Zeh Keli Van Veyu. Zeh Keli Van Veyu. We should be no distractions. We should be facing the president. We should, when the president says something, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says something, we should be facing him. No distractions. Everything else is only to be Chivasi Boilomi. What is my chayv in my world? How am I going to better this? How am I going to reach real levels of spirituality? Not living behind somebody else. The way to see whether an animal is alive, to see if a fish is alive, is to see if it goes against the stream. Goes against the stream. If we're able to go against the stream and focus on what's real, then we reach our real levels of spirituality. There's a Shom Nisol and now can move on.